here in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verses 8, 9, and 10. And then I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about tonight. And it's something that we all can connect with. We all have this situation happening in our lives all the time. It's facing us. And so 1 Samuel chapter, I got to get it right here, 17 verses 8, 9, and 10. And this is Goliath giving his threat to the children of Israel. And let's see what he said. You have to read the whole story. There's probably some kids here that could tell us the story in pretty vivid detail what happened. But we're going to see what his threat was. Verse 8, 9, and 10. This is talking about Goliath. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And then we got to fit in 11. I don't think I had that in here. Verse 11. This is the one we're going to focus on tonight. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And tonight, for the next little bit of time here, we're going to talk about distractions. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us tonight as we share this living word, that it will become alive within our hearts and in our souls. It'll grow, God, and we'll be able to gain something from this to help us in our journey. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so, if you know the story, it was a Goliath coming out and giving this big threat, and send me a man to fight me, and if he kills me, then all of the Philistines will be your servants. But if I kill him, and then all of you are going to be our servants. And they got distracted because they took their eyes off of the living God. They were looking at the reality of the situation that they were facing. They were using what we would call common sense. This man's a giant, and it's told that he was like, and kids, get this, you think Eric's a giant. He's a pretty big guy, but Goliath was, how tall are you, Eric? About 6'6"? 6'5", and it's told, I've heard it said, and Kyle, he went to Bible school, he might know, I think it was in the neighborhood of 9 feet tall or something, was Goliath, and so he was almost 3 feet taller than what Brother Eric is. That's a big man. That's a big man. And he's out there chirping, you come out, send somebody to fight me, you bunch of chickens. But if your man happens to kill me, we'll all be your servants. But Israel was looking at the reality of the situation. Nobody in their right mind can go and fight a man that big and take him out. It's just not going to happen. But they were distracted and they forgot the God that they were serving. And we do that many times in our own lives. We look at that. We know the whole story. And we think that's terrible the way they were. They weren't trusting God. Would you have been any different had you been in that situation? Or would you have been like everybody else? But there was a little boy. We'll call him a little boy. It said that he was about 17 years old. So that's not really that little. And he happened to go out there to check up on his brothers. And his dad sent him along. Oh, and I think he set some cheeses and cakes and different things to take him down to his brothers and to see how the battle was going and to bring a report back to him. But when he showed up, they were not impressed with him. And they thought, this boy just come down to be a show-off. He come down to be a little nip-nose, and this isn't any place for a boy to be. But that boy of 17 years old heard this threat that was coming out from this giant. Because he'd come out every day, and I don't know if it was more than one time a day, and he'd yell across that valley. And somebody that big's going to have a booming voice. I mean, they're going to have a big voice. And it was chilling. It probably sent a chill down their spine. Probably made the hair on the back of their neck stand on edge. And it was like, wow, this isn't good. But when David heard it, David was not distracted by it. He wasn't distracted by it. He remembered and he knew who his God was. And he says, I'll go fight that man. And there's a lot of history that goes in there. You have to read the whole story. And they put the king's armor on him. You're going to go fight a big guy like this. You're just the little fella, you know, you better have this armor, because it tells how big his spear was. It was like a weaver's beam, and that's a big thing. And this guy was a big guy, but David wasn't distracted by the threats that he was making. And how many times do we get distracted by the enemy, by the threats that he makes? And how does he make threats to us? A lot of times it's just through the imagination of our minds. We think about, this could happen if I do this. And we get distracted by the enemy and by all the noise that he's making. But David wasn't distracted by that. And he went out there. And when that giant seen him coming, he laughed at him. He says, what do you think I am, a dog, that you sent this little fella out to fight me? He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He's laughing. He says, come on, little fella. He said, I'll take care of you, that all your people are going to be my servants forever. He says, in fact, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to feed your carcasses to the birds of the air. Now, I'm just going to take you and shred you apart and throw your flesh out there, and the birds are going to eat you up. But David wasn't distracted by that either. The enemy will come in like a flood at many times. In the word tells us in the New Testament, but the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him.
Right.
And that Spirit of God that raises up a standard against him at times has to take place within our heart, and we have to speak out words of faith. But yet, even though we're speaking those words of faith, there's a little bit of trembling and fear that's going on inside. I'm not convinced, even though David says, you come to me in your own power and strength, but he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I believe as David was saying that, inside there might have been a little bit of trembling going on. There might have been some butterflies in his stomach, and his knees might have felt a little rubbery and weak. And in his mind, he might have been thinking, I know this should work, and I believe it's going to work, but this is not an easy thing to do. And it's not an easy thing to stand up against the enemy, but we must stand up against him and not be distracted. Oh, we have so many examples in the Bible of people that were distracted by others. Just last Sunday in the adult class, we studied the story of Joshua and Caleb, and the 12 spies went down into the Canaan land to spy it out, and they were in there for 40 days. And because of the bad report that came back from the 10, for each day that they were in there, they had to spend 1 year in the wilderness, because then they turned away from that border and they went back out into the wilderness for 40 years. But why did they not receive what they wanted? Because the children of Israel were distracted by the report of the 10. They were forgetting who God was. We all have that potential within us. When we're in the midst of the storm, it's not always easy to remember who God is, because we're looking at the reality of the situation, and you don't see God anywhere in that. It's like, wow, what's going to happen here? But we have, whose report are you going to believe? That's a song. Whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Because the only way we can do that is if we're not distracted. That's one of the tactics that the enemy of my soul and your soul uses against us, is to distract us, to get our eyes off the target, to get our eyes off of the goal. And he did that with the children of Israel, with Goliath. They got their eyes off the goal. They got distracted. And that standoff had been going on for many days. But all it took was one person without distraction to go out there and defeat the Philistines. And with Joshua and Caleb, the reports that were coming to them, amen, they come with that positive report. But the 10 people that had the negative report, the rest of the children of Israel believed that report. They were distracted by the negativity around them. Don't let yourself be distracted by the negativity that is around you. Everybody has negativity in their life. There's always a negative thing to everything that's going on. Every situation always has a negative side to it. Don't dwell on the negative side, because if you do, that becomes a distraction to you. And then it's harder. It's more difficult to believe God, even if you're able to believe God, if you dwell in on the distraction. We have the example of the 10 spies that came back. The other examples that we have in God's word. Then we're going to look at some other scriptures. We have Daniel in the lion's den. That's what we like to say. But there was a distraction that came out from Daniel. Daniel had a habit of praying three times a day. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have a habit of praying three times a day? You know, maybe many of us will have to say maybe three times a year, maybe three times a month. Maybe it's a stretch, three times a week, but he prayed three times a day. And all of a sudden, a big distraction came out. And there's a lot of rhyming reason why that happened, but the distraction came out that you're not allowed to pray to anybody but the king. You can't pray. And so Daniel then couldn't pray to the God that he was praying to. That was a distraction for him. He could have been distracted by it and quit praying to God, but he didn't let that distraction change his faith in God. And in the times that we're living, we don't know what's coming down the line. We don't know what laws, legislation, rules might come across that it'll be a huge distraction to us, and we're going to think, well, we better cow down, we better listen, we better submit to the things that they want, or this will be the repercussions from it. It didn't sway Daniel. His eye was set on God, and I am going to keep praying to God. We have the three Hebrew children. They weren't distracted by what the king was doing, but I think that there could have been a little bit of fear in their heart. You put yourself in that situation. We know the whole story. That's no big. Our God won't fail us. You know, we'll go into that furnace, and if we come out, praise be to God. But if we don't, we're still not going to bow to you. They were distracted because they were trying to do that which was right in the sight of God. But they didn't let that distraction change the way that they believed. We should not let distractions change the way that we believe. Amen. We need to remain unchanged. Another one that we have in God's word. Amen. As I'm standing here thinking about it, Job had a huge distraction going on. He had a physical ailment that came upon him that was a very annoying thing. I don't believe I've ever had a boil, but they say even one boil is very painful. You can hardly sleep with it. But he was covered in boils from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And not only that, the distraction came, the distracting, disturbing news that he lost all of his possessions. The distracting and disturbing news that he lost all of his children. And I believe he had 10 children, if I'm not mistaken. Man, if that's not a distraction, let one of your loved ones suddenly be taken out of your life. That's a distraction. And he was not distracted by it, though, although the distraction was there. In fact, another distraction came along in his life. He was probably feeling a little down. He was probably wondering. His three friends came to visit him, and what did they do? And I forget the period of time, but there was a period of time where they just sat there and they were just awestruck of the condition that their friend was in, and they didn't have anything to say. And then when they finally started talking to Job, they started making accusations. Surely you've done something wrong, and this and that, one thing and another. That was a distraction to Job, but he maintained his ways before God. Another distraction that came his way. His wife looked at him. It's such a pity. Full condition you're in. He lost those 10 children, but so did she. They lost all their possessions. He was the richest man in the East, I believe the Bible teaches us. And so they had every reason to be sad. And his wife comes along as a distraction. And in so many words, she's like, "Husband Job, why don't you just curse this God that you think loves you so much? Why don't you just curse him and die? Because look at the pitiful condition that you're in." But what did Job do? In so many words, he said, "Even if God kills me, I'm still going to put my faith and trust in him." Amen. We need that kind of determination in our hearts and in our souls. Even if I die in this situation, I'm going to maintain my ways before God. I'm not going to give up on this salvation that I have. I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to stay faithful to God. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. So we have distractions that go on. Distraction, what is that? It's anything that gets our attention off of what it should be on. There are distractions. The devil is trying to distract every one of us concerning spiritual things. We think of another one that had a distraction, and it cost us, and we've been paying for it from the beginning of time. Eve, in that garden, she got distracted by the fruit that was on that tree. It was one of the most beautiful trees to look upon. But God said, "Don't eat that thing. Don't touch that thing." And you know the story, the temptation, the conversation that the serpent had with her. If she had not got distracted, this world would not be in the condition that it's in today. So we got to be careful with distractions. It's anything that gets our attention off of what it should be. And so there's accidents that have happened. bringing it down to earth a little bit to help us understand distractions. Accidents have happened because of distractions. They'll say cause of accident, distracted driver. There's people that have lost their lives because of distracted driving. Distracted driving is trying to be on your cell phone when you're driving. That's distracted driving. Messing with the radio, messing with the CD, you know, trying to turn around and the kids are in the back seat acting like anything but children, and you just can't take it anymore, and you turn to try to correct them, you could be in a terrible accident. Those are distractions, okay? And there's distractions that go on in our lives, and we have to be careful about that. Amen. Distractions. There's some of us in here, in fact, quite a few of us, if we're currently not doing it, we have been in the past. We live in the area where we like to do a lot of hunting and fishing. And there's a lot of us that could tell stories about the deer we missed or the fish we missed because we were distracted. Right at that moment, we were distracted with something else, and there stood the biggest buck I ever seen in my life, but there I had the candy wrapper ripping it open, and my gun was leaning up against the tree over there, and good for the deer. He got away scot-free. Didn't even get a shot off at him. Why didn't you? Because you were distracted by something else. When you're out there hunting, the young kids need to listen. Your focus needs to be on hunting. When you're out there fishing, your focus has to be on that fishing pole. What do kids like to do? You go out, you go to a lake, you line the fishing poles up and sit them there. Before you know it, the kids are gone and they're running and they're frolicking and they're playing and chasing butterflies or whatever kids do. And then you look over and there's their pole bending like this. You holler for them. They come over. Oh, and then they're almost in tears. Why didn't they get that fish? Because they were distracted with something else. So distraction is a real thing in life. And so you need to ask yourself, in this life, what is my focus? What is my goal? What is my aim? Or am I just sort of pointlessly going through life? I just go through life. I don't know what a day's going to bring. And that's true. We don't know what a day's going to bring. And so I don't know what a day's going to bring. And my focus in life is just to make it through each day. Your focus needs to be more than that. Your focus needs to be more than just making it through another day, just making it through the next battle, just making it through the next thing that comes against me, and then I'll still have my salvation. I'll still be serving God. We need to have a focus. And so what's your focus? And I'm going to give scripture references. You can write them down, look them up later, because the time won't allow us to read all of these. But Nehemiah, he was reconstructing the walls in Jerusalem. In Nehemiah chapter 6, the first 19 verses, Nehemiah was busy building the wall, and he refused to be distracted from his work. Refused to be distracted from his work. And there was a point in time where they were working with their one hand, and they had a weapon in the other hand. They weren't going to stop the work on the wall and just stand there with a weapon in both hands. They weren't going to be distracted by the threat of the enemy. They were working with one hand, holding the weapon in the other hand. And so he was diligently doing the work of God. Are you diligently doing what God wants you to do? Meaning, are you carefully doing what God wants you to do? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10. So that's quite a few verses to read. But in essence, what it really is telling us there, it tells us to keep on, even though much stuff may happen to us, good and bad. It tells us to keep moving on, keep plowing ahead, keep marching forward, keep putting one foot in front of the other, keep on going on. Even though a lot of things are going to happen, there's going to be good things that happen, there's going to be bad things that happen. But we're ever moving on. At times we might take bigger steps. At times we might take a littler step. But we never take a step backward. We're not going to be distracted by those things that go on in our life, whether it's good or bad. Sometimes we put so much emphasis on the good things and we're just on the mountaintop. And then when something comes along and it's a little contrary, it knocks us on the flat of our back. We're just like bewildered. Where did that come from? We get distracted by it. In Matthew chapter 19, there's a story told of a rich young ruler. And it's verses 16 through 22. And this rich young ruler, he was distracted from his walk with God because he was more focused on the riches that he had. That was the one. Lord, I've done all these things. I've kept the law. I've done this and that. And he says, good, that's wonderful. He goes, go and sell that which you have and give it unto the poor. And he hung his head and he walked away sorrowfully because he was a man of great wealth and he just couldn't do it. So his wealth distracted him. His wealth was his main interest. What's your main interest tonight? What's your focus tonight? And it became a major distraction away from what Jesus told him to do. In Luke chapter 10, you all know this story. It's of Mary and Martha, verses 38 through 42. Martha, she was cumbered about with much care. She was taking care of Jesus. Jesus came to their house. They were preparing a meal for them. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words and to his teaching. But Martha was distracted by everything that needed done around there. And Jesus had words to say to her. And he didn't say it quite this way, but what he was saying to her, Mary, this stuff that you're worried about doesn't really matter. It's something that's just going to pass away. Mary, or Martha, that's just a distraction to you. It's just a distraction. Our main focus when we gather in God's house is to hear from God. That needs to be our main focus. Our main focus is that when we come here, even when we come here on a potluck Sunday, our main focus needs to be on what does God have prepared for me here. Don't let the potluck thing be a distraction to you where you're sitting here and you're worrying about what's going on upstairs and are they taking care of things right? Distracted by it. Those things don't really matter. Amen. Distracted by it. Even out of the restroom and the toilet's running. Oh, you're so distracted and disturbed by it, you can't even enter into the service. Those things don't really matter. We'll take care of it afterwards. There's a lot of things in life that try to distract us. Pastor Eastman, I grew up in his home, and there was one time he was going to a meeting somewhere. They used to have what they called Grange Halls. That's almost a thing of the past in our area. But he's going down to a Grange Hall down near Garland, Pennsylvania. And just as we were getting close to that place, there was a noise. There was something that happened in that engine, in that van. And we had it loaded up with amplifiers. And they didn't have keyboards back then, drums. And we were going to set up in there and have a meeting. And just about before we got there, there was a huge distraction that happened. And what really happened, not knowing it at the time, that thing started spewing oil out of it, just running out of it. The engine blew on the van. And Pastor Eastman, he just continued on in. He wasn't worried about it. We set up. We had a good service. God moved by his power and spirit. But Pastor Eastman could have allowed that to be a distraction to him, to stop God from moving and working in that service. And there was people there that even made comment about that. They were amazed that he could just forget about that and go in there and have a church service and preach what God wanted him to preach on to them. There's always something that's going to be going on. There's many distractions that pull our attention away. But a lot of those things don't really matter. A distraction usually is just something that's going to take care of itself anyways. It's going to pass away. Don't be distracted by it. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 through 27, the disciples here, they were distracted by a big storm that rose up on the sea. Man, if you're out in a boat, the last thing you want there to be is a big storm that comes up. I've been out on Lake Erie before. My nephew used to have a pretty big boat, and it did good on Lake Erie, except when a big storm was coming, and those waves on Lake Erie, they can get out of control in a hurry, and you have to sort of ride the wave down and then up over a wave and down, and that isn't any fun. It's a scary situation, and so they were out there in this boat, and a big storm came up. And they were so distracted by the storm that they forgot who was in the boat with them. And in the storms of life that you face, don't forget who's in the boat with you. If you want to look at it that way, we're in this world. We're in this boat of life. And it's going along. And sometimes it's smooth sailing. It's just a wonderful sunny day. It's a great time to be out there on the boat. And there's times that boat is going to go through storms and you think it's going to take the boat down. But in the boat of life that we're on, don't forget who is in the boat with you. Yeah. Don't be distracted by the storms that come against you. There's all kinds of storms that can come against people. What happens? And I pray that it don't happen to any of you, but people have faced things like this. All of a sudden, you get a letter in the mail, and there's a big lawsuit being placed against you. Man, that's a huge distraction. It's like, man, what am I going to do about this situation? It's sort of blindsided me. Now I don't know what I'm going to do. Don't forget who's in the boat with you. Amen. That's why we got to take it there. We got to take our burdens. That's a burden. You got to take them to the Lord. You got to leave them there. Don't be overwhelmed by the suddenness of a situation that presents itself in your life. We like to have forewarning. We like to know, hey, there's a possibility that you're going to get some pretty severe bad news. And you can sort of prepare yourself. But when you're not expecting it, boom, there it is. That's serious. It's hard to face things like that. But when we face those things, don't forget who is in the boat with you, because the enemy wants to distract us. He wants us to take our eyes off of Jesus. In a little bit here, when I'm finished, we're going to sing that little chorus, and you're going to have to help me remember it, because I'll forget it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world, this earth, will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We have to keep looking to God. And so life threw a big distraction to the disciples, a big storm. But we got to remember that Jesus can calm the storms of distraction in your life. What storms of distraction are you facing in your life right now? Are you trying to carry it alone? How's that working for you? How you sleeping? How you eating? How you feeling? How's your physical well-being? All those things are going to have an effect on you unless you don't become distracted by it. Amen. The storms of life, they will distract us. But Jesus, he was in that boat with them. He was able to calm that storm. And he's able to calm the storm that you're in. The storms that come against us are a distraction from keeping us to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. That's why you have to have a focus. You have to have a mission. This is what God wants me to do. Now I got this and this and this, and I'm losing focus on what God wants. Don't let those storms pull you down. In Matthew 15:8, Jesus said this: the people honor me, but their heart is far from me. Where is your heart tonight? Are you being distracted? Where is your heart tonight? Well, I go to church. I go to church. You're here tonight. But to be honest with you, preacher, my main focus tonight is not on what you're talking about. My main focus and priority tonight at this moment is on those things that are coming from without. They're just about to consume me. They're just about to eat me up. And I'm having a hard time paying attention to what you're saying. I'm trying. But man, those things are overwhelming me. You have to think about that. Where is your heart tonight? Are you consumed with thinking about certain things? Are you consumed with thinking about the problems that you're facing in life, the drama that's going on in your life, the issues that are going on in your life? Is that consuming you tonight? If it is, that's a distraction. We don't want those distractions. What do those distractions do? Amen. Distracting us from what we really should be doing. Oh, the devil doesn't want us to be effective in the kingdom of God. If you're going to go to heaven, he's going to fight you every bit of the way. He's going to try to add things, put things against you. He's going to make big noises here and big noises there. He's going to distract us and try to get us off course. But we need to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Ephesians 6:13, we need to be able to stand. You need to be able to resist, amen, the evil that's in your day. You need to be able to do that on your own. Yes, you can get the other saints of God to agree in prayer, but we need to be able to resist those distractions. Amen. So we ask this question: if you're having a hard time resisting those distractions and standing in the evil that comes against you, are you resisting the devil and his distractions? For every time he comes around and goes, boo, you just cow down and you roll over and you play possum. You know, you play dead. You got me, devil. I don't have any answer for you. Man, you really got me on that one. Is that how you respond to the enemy? Are you resisting the devil and his distraction? And then Ephesians 6:13 talks us about when we have done all to stand. It means to not be distracted. If I'm going to stand when I've done all else, and I'm going to stand and I'm going to remain standing, I can't be distracted. I have to stay focused. And so the question comes, what keeps you from focusing on God tonight in your own life? What keeps you focusing on God? And whatever it is that keeps you focusing on God, that's a distraction. You need to recognize it. That's just a distraction. That's just an insult from the enemy. He's just trying to put another nail in my coffin. He's just trying to drive another nail of discouragement into me. I'm not going to pay any attention to that. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. I've got a goal. I'm going to make heaven my home. Devil, do whatever you're going to do. My eyes are on Jesus. And so we have to keep focused on what we should be doing. And that's loving and serving God. Sister Oaks, you can come up here. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We're going to sing that chorus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. look full in his wonderful face, and this and the things of this earth are going to go strangely dim. And as we sing this tonight, you do not have to tell me, because I'm not that kind of guy. I don't need to know what is distracting you, what it is that's pulling at you. It's causing potential discouragement. It's causing thoughts of, I don't think I can do this. And it's causing thoughts of, is this really right? Is this really true? And if you have distractions in your life tonight, you can come up here and stand at the altar, and I will agree in prayer with you that God will help you. That God will help you. You may have a big distracting thing going on in your life right now, and it's almost getting the best of you. But don't forget, Jesus is in the boat with you. You can look at that distraction, and it can overwhelm you. But then you can remember, no, Jesus, you got this. You're here with me. So if you need encouragement in that line tonight, you can come up to the altar, and we'll pray with you. Otherwise, right there in the place where you